Hello there, everyone. Welcome once again to another presentation of Bible Beyond the Basics. So happy that you've chosen to join me again this week. And please tell your friends and loved ones and everyone around the house in the neighborhood that Bible Beyond the Basics has started one more time. I am your host, Clinton Baldwin, and we are here to go beyond the basics one more time in God's words. Yes, this is Bible Beyond the Basics, coming to you from Dikayuma Ministries International of 66A Brunswick Avenue in Spanish Town. We have a very, very interesting and fascinating study for you this week, and you're going to love this one because I'm going to talk about something that touches us right in the pocket. We'll be studying this week about tithing, the biblical concept of tithing, and that is a very important one because where the money touches us, it speaks a lot of implications. So we'll be talking about tithing this week. Last week, we touched on the mark of the beast, and I'll be going back to that topic in the not-too-distant future, because as mentioned before, I'll be doing a series on the Sabbath, and that should be coming up in around 2 weeks' time. And as part of that package, I will deal with the mark of the beast and Sunday laws and all of those things going forward. But for this week, it's tithing. So let's jump right into it because we always need more time for what we have to do. So before we get into the word, as per usual, we will pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to study. May you enlighten our minds and our hearts, and may we understand your words and be able to apply so that our lives will be made better and we'll be more loving people for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tithing. What is this thing called tithing? Well, tithing, as is understood by most Christians or many Christians, has to do with returning one-tenth or 10% of your salary to the church. And for some churches, it is the gross salary. And for other churches, it is from the net salary. But whatever the case is, there are many Christians who feel conscience-bound to return one-tenth of their salary to their particular denomination for the support of the church, for the gospel ministry. And this can be seen as very, very important because in some cases, members are not allowed to hold offices, or some members are looked down upon as robbing God, as not being faithful, because it is believed, the Bible says, you ought to pay a tithe from your income. And if you are not doing such, you are not a faithful Christian. In fact, in many cases, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 is read, will a man rob God? And wherein as he robbed me, but in tithe and offering. So that text many times is read in church to legitimate the idea, to nail down the point that as a Christian, you are obligated to pay a tithe. And if you're not doing such, you're not a faithful member, you are not living up to your Christian responsibility. So what we would like to do this week is to examine the scriptures to see if the Bible is saying exactly that. So what I'd like to do is to read the major texts throughout the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, that has to do with tithing. We will not be able to read every single text on tithing for the half an hour, but let's read the major ones, which will naturally cover the minor texts or passages on tithing. Let's go first of all to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I'll be reading verse 7, 11, 17 through to 19. Let's bear in mind, we're trying to uncover if the Bible is saying you are obligated to pay one-tenth of your income as tithe, and that you're being a faithful Christian when you return one-tenth to your church. So let's see what the Bible has to say. Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, "But you shall seek the Lord at the place where the Lord your God will choose from all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. There you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithe, the contribution of your hand, your votive offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock." Please note carefully, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 6, a number of things are listed that the children of Israel, when they settled in Canaan, they should bring as part of their worship exercise. I'll read again verse 6. "You shall bring your, number one, burnt offerings. Number two, sacrifices. Number three, tithe, plural. The contribution of your hand, your votive offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock." Let's skip down to verse 11. "Then it shall come about that the place in which the Lord your God will choose for his name to dwell there, there you shall bring all that I commanded you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithe, and the contribution of your hand, and all your choice votive offerings which you vow to the Lord." Jump down to verse 17. "You are not allowed to eat within your gates. You are not allowed to eat within your gates the tithe of your grain, of your new wine or oil, or the firstborn of your herd or your flock, or any of your votive offerings which you vow, or your freewill offerings, or the contribution of your hand." Verse 18, "And you shall eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God will choose, you and your son and daughter and your male and female servants and the Levites who is within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all your undertakings. Be careful that you do not forsake the Levites as long as you live." So from this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 7 onwards, we can learn a number of things from tithe. It jumps out obvious. One, tithe is listed among the other sacrificial offerings that the children of Israel were commanded to present to God. Burnt offerings, verses 7 and 11, tithe was listed among burnt offerings, sacrifices, votive offerings, freewill offerings, the firstborn of the herd, and the flocks. Also from verses 7, 11, and 17, the tithe was supposed to be eaten by the person who made the contribution of the tithe, by all Israel in the place which the Lord, their God, should choose. Also, from this list, we discover the tithe was not paid from salary, but it was paid from the agricultural produce of the land. Okay? So if this was the only text that we had pertaining to tithing, then we would say that only the farmers would be obligated to pay tithe. Okay? That would be an application. But also, if this was the only text that we had, then we would want to say, or we would be okay in saying that sacrifices and burnt offerings and freewill offerings along with tithe was obligatory, because that's what the text is saying in its primary context to the people who heard it first. Let's jump over to Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 28. "You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. You shall eat it in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where he chooses to establish his name, and the tithe of your grain and your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and your flock, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. If the distance is too great for you that you are not able to bring the tithe, since the place where the Lord your God chooses to set his name is too far away from you, when the Lord your God blesses you, then you shall exchange it," that is the tithe, for money, and bind the money in your hand, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. You may spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, for sheep, or wine, or strong drink, or whatever your heart desires, and there you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God, and rejoice, you and your household. Also, you shall not neglect the Levite who is in your town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out of all the tithe of your produce in that year, and shall deposit it in your town. The Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, and the alien and the orphan and the widow who are in your town, shall come and eat and be satisfied, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand, which you do. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. What do we learn from Deuteronomy chapter 14? A number of things. One, tithe equals the produce from the crops. For example, the corn, wheat, and the barley, verses 22, 23. Verse 29, the Levites, the alien, the orphans, and the widows should eat of the tithe, and also the person who returned the tithe. Note also that from this passage, Deuteronomy 14, the tithe was also included among the other sacrificial offerings. The tithe could be exchanged for money if the place where the Lord God chooses his name to dwell, the central place of worship, was too far for the Israelite to bring the corn, the wine, the wheat, the barley, the animals. If that place was too far to bring the agricultural produce of the tithe, then it should be exchanged for money, and they take the money to the place, the central place of worship, and there at the central place of worship, according to verses 20, 25 and 26, they should buy oxen and sheep and wine and strong drink and have a feast, and then somewhat as an afterthought in verse 27, please do not forget the Levites. They should also partake of the tithe. Okay, let's move on to Numbers 18, 21, and 22. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their services which they perform the service of the tent of meeting. The sons of Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting again, or they will bear sin. Only the Levite shall perform the services of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout generation, and all the sons of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Verse 24, for all the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as an offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore, I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel. So Leviticus is more focused on the Levites receiving the tithe, whereas Deuteronomy is more focused on the tithe being shared for the orphan, the widows, the fathers, and the poor. Leviticus placed more emphasis on the tithe going to the Levites. The Levites, by the way, was the particular tribe within Israel which was responsible for the sanctuary service, to do all what we would call today the work of ministry. They would attend to the sanctuary. They would clean the sanctuary. They were the teachers in the sanctuary. They look about the wood and the water and maintain the cultus of Israel. And they had no inheritance, so they were given the tithe as their remuneration, so to speak. Okay? And again, from Numbers, we see the tithe consists primarily of agricultural goods. Rather, I should not say primarily. It was simply tithing in the Old Testament was never from salary. None of these texts which we have read, the major texts on salary, Deuteronomy 12, Numbers 14, Deuteronomy 14, Numbers 18, etc. And then we're going to go to the more popular one, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through to 10. Let's jump over to Malachi. Most Christians are aware of this one. Malachi chapter 3, reading from verse 8 of Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourers for you, so that it will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor will your wine or field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. A number of things. Again, according to Malachi, tithe consists of agricultural produce, bringing all the tithe so that there will be food in my house. Verse 10, King James says meat, Old English word for food. Okay, so tithe, and also in the context of Malachi, tithe and offerings. When we read the book of Malachi, let me just punch in a number of texts to help you with that. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 9 and verse 11, 1 verse 13, 1 verse 14, and throughout. Chapter 2, verse 12, chapter 2, verse 13, chapter 3, verses 3, 4, coming onwards. Throughout the book of Malachi, the word offering has to do with the animal sacrifices, not the extra change which is left in our pockets after we have given some money or after we've paid the tithe. So according to Malachi then, the Israelites were supposed to bring their tithe, that is agricultural produce, and two, their animal sacrifices to God. Therefore, if based on Malachi chapter 3, I'm to pay tithe, then I should also bring a lamb or a bullock or turtle dove to the temple to pay tithe, because that's what Malachi is saying in this context. Okay, so having read these texts, we will take a short break and come back, look at some New Testament passages regarding tithe, and then we conclude and apply. Please stay with me. We'll have a short break.
Washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know. God speak. Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. God speak.
Thanks for staying with me. Before the break, we were looking at Malachi chapter 3, and from a careful reading of Malachi chapter 3, we discovered that tithing, as was the case with the other passages in the Old Testament, has to do with the return of agricultural produce to the Israelite system, and offerings in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, has to do with animal sacrifices. I am saying this in particular because there are many Christians who believe that offerings in Malachi chapter 3 has to do with the extra change you have having paid your tithe. No, according to Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithe and offerings in the storehouse, literally bring ye all the agricultural produce and the animal sacrifices to the storehouse. Okay, so please, let's not read that text or that passage to be saying that, you know, people ought to give money. Will a man rob God? The man in context was the Israelite under the system back then, not the Christian today. Okay, before getting to the New Testament, there's just one other passage in the Old Testament which I think I need to touch on briefly and summarize. It's Genesis chapter 14, verses 20 onwards. And permit me just to summarize. Please read when you have time. It speaks of Abraham returning a tithe to Melchizedek. Note from the context that, one, Abraham was returning one-tenth of the spoils of war. He had been to a particular battle, he was coming back from battle, and he gave one-tenth of the spoils of war to Melchizedek, the priest. He was not paying tithe from his regular agricultural produce, much more from his salary. And also, according to Genesis 14, 18, the same context, Melchizedek blessed Abram and gave him gifts of bread and wine. Therefore, if coming out of that text, from the example of Abraham, tithing is obligatory, then from the said text, we should say that the priests should, or the pastor, or the church leader should bless the members with bread and wine every time tithe is paid. It's just being faithful to the context. Let's jump over to the New Testament. And the New Testament only mentions tithe in four different passages. Luke 18, 9 through to 14, 11 and 12, Matthew 23, and Luke 11, and Hebrews chapter 7, 1 through to 12. In the interest of time, I will just read Hebrews chapter 7. That's the longest passage in the New Testament that has to do with tithe. And let me see how much of it can do. Hebrews 7, verse 1. And this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham appointed a tenth part of all the spoils, which was first of all by a translation of his name, king of righteousness and also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remained a priest perpetually. Now observe how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the choice of spoils. And those indeed of the sons of Levi who receive the priest's offered office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brethren, although these are descended from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them, collect a tenth from Abraham, and bless the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In this case, mortal men receive tithe, but in that case, one receives them, of whom it is weakness that he lives on. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithe, pay tithe. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Verse 11 of Hebrews 7, now if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of the law. In summary, what this passage is saying is that in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 12, tithing is part of an illustration to demonstrate that the Levitical priesthood was no longer binding. According to the writer of Hebrews, the law under which the tithe was received was no longer applicable. It goes without saying that the writer of Hebrews did not see tithe as applicable to his audience, as he used a tithe illustration here with Abraham and Melchizedek to punch the point that the legal system under which the tithe was paid is no longer applicable. In Luke 18, another text having to do with tithe, Jesus speaks to the Jewish leaders of paying tithe and mint and cummings, etc. And these things they should have done, but they should not neglect the weightier matters of justice and mercy and love. Please note that in Luke 18 and also Matthew 23:23 and Luke 11:42, when Jesus in those contexts, when he spoke of tithing, he was speaking within Judaism, within the Jewish context. And he was saying to people within Judaism that, yes, they should have paid tithe. Jesus was not making a command or a prescription for Christians. And I think I'll revisit this and clarify some more. But let me summarize what we are talking about regarding tithing from the Old Testament and also from the New Testament. Number one, tithe was one of the ceremonial offerings, like animal sacrifices, first fruits offerings, votive offerings, etc., that was presented under the Old Covenant. Number two, from a biblical perspective, you cannot say that tithing is a requirement and at the same time say that animal sacrifices and other ceremonial offerings are not a requirement. Because from all the texts that you use to support tithing, those said texts also enjoins on, those said texts enjoined on the Israelite the payment of or the return or the practice of sacrifices and other ceremonial offerings. Number three, wages was indeed paid to people in the Old Testament. Please see Deuteronomy 24, 14 to 15, Jeremiah 22, 13, Malachi 3 verse 5, in the New Testament, James 5 verse 4, Matthew 21 through to 15. Wages were indeed paid to the people in the Old Testament, but they did not pay tithe from wages. The tithe was supposed to be consumed by the person returning the tithe, by the poor, by the widow, by the fatherless, etc. The tithe in the Old Testament and also New Testament was distributed by the person paying the tithe, not by the Levites or some establishment. Let me wrap this up by saying, and I'll get back to this some next week and clarify some more, that from a biblical perspective, the Christian is not commanded or obligated to pay tithe. Does this mean that the Christian has no obligation to support the cause of God? Certainly not. A Christian who is not supporting the cause of God is really not understanding the gospel, not understanding the Christian requirement. However, what we are concluding this week, and which we will elaborate and clarify some more next week, is that while the Christian is required to support the cause of God, he's not required to pay a specific one-tenth as a tithe. Please, let's not mix up the need or the desire to support the cause of God with believing that the Bible enjoins a specific tithe. And I know this is very delicate, and some people believe that you are mean and you're not spiritual and you don't love God. That's the reason why you're talking like this. No. I'm talking like this because indeed I love God and I love his words and I've got to be faithful to the words, and I cannot make the need for money now within the church cause me to read the wrong thing out of the Bible or read my quotes and quotes, you know, right idea back into scripture. So please understand, I'll clarify some more, but the Christian will support the work of God, and next week we will come and see how the Christian is obligated to support the work of God. But what we are saying is we must be faithful to scripture, we must be intellectually honest, and we should not use the Bible to our ends. So I'm sorry I'm out of time for this week, but what we learned from the Old Testament, that number one, tithing from agricultural produce, and it's not a requirement now under Christian obligation. And of course, the Christian is obligated to be faithful to God in so many ways, more stringent than tithing. I'm so sorry I'm out of time, but let's continue to read and study the Word of God. We'll enjoy it. We'll be blessed. God bless you. See you next week again when we will continue the study and clarify some more. God bless. Take care for now. Bye-bye.